You got a friend in me.
You've got a friend in me.
Celebrate friendship and beyond during the first ever Pixar Fest with the all-new Pixar-themed fireworks spectacular and your favorite park parades. Celebrate from April 13th through September 3rd, only at Disneyland Resort. Visit Disneyland.com for details.
There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you.
You've got a friend in me.
Entertainment subject to change without notice.
From Paris to Portland, you've picked up the guidebooks. You've followed the advice. This is the Fromer Travel Show. Pauline Fromer, president of Fromer Media, and Jason Cochran, editor-in-chief of Fromers.com, with the most complete, the most up-to-date travel information available anywhere. The pages of the Fromer's guidebooks come alive right now, exclusively on 77 WABC.
And welcome back to the Fromer Travel Show, what I think is one of the happiest hours of radio on the radio. So thank you so much for listening, and as always, I'm Pauline Fromer here with...
And I'm Jason Cochran.
Exactly.
Hi, Pauline.
Jason isn't with me. You may hear kind of an echo because he's in this totally groovy San Francisco hotel room. Jason is on the road. So we're in two places. So if we cut each other off, that's what's happening today. But we have such a fabulous topic today. We're going to dispense with the question of the day for the next 5 weeks, because it's the time of year where Fromers puts out its best places to go in the coming year list. It's actually an article. It's on Fromers.com, F-R-O-M-M-E-R-S.com, if you want to see the gorgeous photos and the great text about what we're going to be talking about. Every year, we pick places that we think are going to be particularly special in the coming year, and we picked 18 for 2018. And so we're going to discuss them in the course of the show, hopefully four per show. And we'd love to have you all call in. If you've been to these places, if you have just a general travel question, that's okay too. It doesn't have to be just on these destinations. But we'd love it if you do want to talk about these destinations and can give your own responses to the fact that they've been picked, whether they should, whether they shouldn't. If there's other destinations you would have preferred, give us a call. 800-848-WABC is our number. So that's 800-848-9222. And Jason, do you want to start or should I?
I'll go ahead and start because, okay. You know, we have a few to get through. It's the best places list. By the way, we need to say they're in no particular order.
Right.
You know, we like them all, which is why we selected them all after talking to all of our writers and editors. And the first one we chose for a lot of reasons, but one of them is that it was designated a UNESCO World Heritage Site this year. It's a place that a lot of British people know because they're used to taking vacations there, but not a lot of Americans or people outside of the UK know. It's called the Lake District. It's in an area called Cumbria in northwest England, and it's mountains, beautiful craggy peaks, some of, I think, the tallest ones in England, and with very placid, glassy lakes in between them. And this gorgeous topography has lots of sheep farms and old farmhouses dotting the mossy hills. And it sort of simmers down as it goes west until it reaches the sea. And there you'll find seafood restaurants and other, you know, kind of very bucolic, relaxing places to hang out after a long day of cycling or walking.
But it's much more dramatic landscape than you see anywhere else in England. It's so
much
different.
More. You don't if I showed you a photograph of it, and we have, of course, pictures up on Fromers.com, you wouldn't say that's England,
right?
You would think, was that in the Rocky Mountains somewhere? Those, you know, look like beautiful foothills. It's inspired people for many, many years. The picturesque painters used to do works based on the Lake District. The romantic writers like Wordsworth used to write about it or write after they visited it. And even Central Park is said to have been inspired by the Lake District, because that kind of ramshackle, wild look, but yet still homey look, is something that Frederick Law Olmsted, one of the designers of Central Park, right, valued and exported. So I think it's one of those places that has had a large effect on the world without people even realizing it. And it's an easy place to reach. Just a couple hours from London, either by car or by train. Lots of little towns to stay in, B&Bs, lots of farm stays, lots of caravans, which are RVs in the UK. It's just an easy, great, beautiful place to visit. And that's why we put it on our list.
And lots of historic homes. Beatrix Potter actually lived in the area, and you have to get tickets way in advance for Beatrix Potter's house. I discovered this. My daughter is named Beatrix, so we wanted to take her there, and we were out of luck because it's hugely popular with Japanese tourists. A lot of them learn to speak English by reading Beatrix Potter stories, and so they get all the tickets to Beatrix Potter's house. So Beatrix Potter was there, Wordsworth, Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein there, just an incredible legacy for this area. So if you've been to the Lake District or England, or if you want to talk about it, 800-848-9222 is our number. We have a call from Lou in Mineola. Hey, Lou, thanks for calling.
Thank you very much. My question was whether you had any advice about somebody planning a fishing vacation. I live on Long Island. I like to fish. There's certainly lots of opportunities here.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. I was thinking Florida or maybe Minnesota. I've heard they've got great lake country out there, or maybe, obviously, a lot of it's going to be seasonal, but
sure. I'm not a fishing expert, but I can tell you that just in the last 5 years, a whole slew of websites have popped up. One of them, the one that's popping to my mind, is called getmyboat.com. Fishing vacations, as you probably know, used to be wildly expensive because often, unless you find a place where you can just fish off a dock, but if you wanted to go out into open waters with a boat, usually you paid through the nose for the boat rental. But thanks to GetMyBoat.com, and there are others, we have no affiliation with GetMyBoat, it's just the one that's sticking in my mind. There are other competitors that are just as good. These are marketplace sites which allow both companies that rent boats and folks who might have a boat and want to rent it out when they're not using it to compete. And because of that, prices are going lower. So look at that site. Jason?
And Lou, I would suggest that before you begin this, you think about what kind of fishing experience you want, because that depends on what kind of fish you're going to be going for. If you want to sit with your cap around your eyes, half asleep in a boat, you'll probably want a lake in Minnesota. If you want to, you know, have the thrill of fighting a really muscular fish into the boat, you're going to take probably a deep sea tour. And if you want something sort of in between, you're going to go to the shallows. That's why some people, I think, like South Florida, is you'll have a choice between deeper sea fish or going to the shallows in like Bimini, Bahamas or something, where you get a different sort of fish. You know, it depends on like the day you want to have, and every kind of fishing vacation gives you a different, or you know, there's even fly fishing where you stand waist deep in the water among the mountains, and it's half about the scenery. So think about what kind of vacation you want to get out of it before picking the destination that offers it.
You know, I've just finished looking through, we're about to bring out a Frommer's book to Scotland, and there was a whole probably 10 pages in that book about fishing in Scotland, just because that's such an iconic activity there.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's a bigger ticket item than going to Florida or staying in Long Island. But there's so many places in the world where you can fish. As Jason said, it's really about the experience that you want.
Yeah, I can tell you, I took a trip to Hong Kong about a year ago, and I was just kind of curious. There were plenty of charter fishing boats
right
that leave Hong Kong. You know, those waters are, you know,
teeming, I would think.
Yeah.
Teeming
yeah.
with fish. Well, thank you for calling, Lou. I hope that helped.
Yes.
Okay, great. All right, let's go back to discussing the destinations. I wrote up for this list, and for those who missed the beginning of the show, it's that time of year where we at Frommer's.com put up our list of the best places to go in the coming year, places that are going to be at their peak in 2018. We picked 18 of them. One of them is New Orleans. Now, mm-hmm. I think New Orleans is a great place to go any year, But next year, the city is celebrating its 300th anniversary. So the parties are going to be even wilder. Interestingly enough, they throw 160 festivals per year. So they're not going to add any more festivals. I think it would be hard. That's what, Jason, is that like 3.5 festivals, a festival every 3.5 days or something?
There's
like
a reason I'm not a mathematician. There's a reason I write.
Okay, so I think it's about a festival every 4 days if you look at it that way. But all of the festivals next year will have to do with history. So if you go down for Mardi Gras, and I think that's something that every American should do once in their life, kind of like seeing the Grand Canyon. It's such an extraordinary experience. This year, different crews will be using the history to decorate their floats. So the crew of Rex, which is an iconic one, they have 18 floats in one of the Mardi Gras parades, and each of them is going to be about a different seminal event in New Orleans history. Beyond that, on this show before, I've talked about the fact that the last time I went to New Orleans, I just dropped my bags at the hotel and went running to my favorite club. It's called the Spotted Cat. They have fabulous music and a really multi-generational scene. You see people in their 20s, you see people in their 70s, and everybody is dancing and the music is spectacular. And it's in the Bywater District. Which is a place that I think tourists are starting to know that they should go to. It's much less, it's much less of a scene than Bourbon Street. It's more about the music, less about drinking yourself into a coma. And it's just this joyous place, and it's always been a little difficult to get to. But this year, New Orleans opened a new street or expanded a streetcar line, so you can easily get there by public transportation. As well, they're building these beautiful parks along the river. For decades, they just had warehouses dividing the city from the Mississippi so that you really couldn't have that river experience. That is changing in 2018.
And that's good news.
Yeah, it's great news. So those are two of the reasons that we chose three, actually.
Now, I can't imagine how New Orleans could possibly get any more party-oriented. So I'm really interested to see how it makes it out of 2018 alive, because 300 years anniversary is quite the celebration.
Well, some of the celebrations aren't, you know, booze-related. They're going to have this incredible art festival all throughout the city where our international artists will be asked to create installations in different places based on the history of New Orleans, and you can go
around.
Which
is extremely complicated and rich. People forget, you know, it was French, so there's a real long, complicated continental history to that city.
Then Spanish, then French. I mean, it went back and forth.
Few American cities share. Yeah, it's really a tapestry. It's not just like 200 years or 300 years of jazz. I mean, there's a lot going on in that history.
Right, absolutely. So it should be a really great year to visit New Orleans. We have to take a break. Let me remind everybody that we want to talk to you. Jen is here. She will take your phone calls. Our number is 800-848-9222. Before we go, I want to talk about our partnership with our sponsor, Allianz Travel Insurance, because now when you buy a policy from Allianz, you're going to get a bonus. And that bonus is Frommer's information. For 36 destinations, we are supplying valuable information on the top places to see, how to create a good itinerary to that destination, and you're going to get that free when you buy an insurance policy from Allianz. To learn more about that, to learn more about insurance, go to Allianz travelinsurance.com. That's Allianz travelinsurance.com.
Pauline Frommer, Jason Cochran, The Frommer Travel Show, only here where New York comes to talk, 77 WABC.
That's right. You are listening to The Frommer Travel Show. We're taking your calls at 800-848-WABC. That stands for, or that translates to, I should say, 800-848-WABC. 9222. And I see that we have Shirley on the line. Shirley, you are live on the Frommer Travel Show. Thank you so much for calling.
Pauline?
Yes.
Good afternoon. I'm a very long time listener from way back when, and I couldn't believe that you named the Northern Lake District of England as one of the top spots to go to in the world.
Why? You don't like the Lake District?
Oh, my goodness gracious. I absolutely love it.
Oh, good.
I went about 10 years ago on a hiking trip with the English Lakeland Ramblers.
Oh,
the Ramblers.
The Ramblers. It was a small group, only maybe 12 of us. We hiked and hiked everywhere. We went to Roman ruins. Mm. And you would take a lunch with you in the morning, and we stayed in the most wonderful small bed and breakfast inn in a very small town, of which I forget the name. And, of course, I have wonderful photos of Lake Windermere, Lake Grasmere. And after I finished that, I was by myself but with a lovely group. I took the train down to York.
Oh, good idea.
I proceeded to spend 4 days there and saw the choir, the male choir, do at 6 o'clock every evening. They do vespers, and it was at York Cathedral.
It sounds magical.
Yeah.
Shirley, for people who might want to replicate your experience, the Ramblers, they're a British company, right?
So That's correct. You were with
mostly British hikers, and it must have not been too expensive, if I remember correctly.
It really was not. I still have my wonderful, beautiful blue T-shirt, and we hiked along riverbeds, dried riverbeds. We went, and I never forget our guide, John, telling us, I have wonderful photos, oh my goodness, of this landscape is magical. And when we would hike out into the meadows and everything, of course there is so many sheep and different animals there.
Well, if you go to Frommers.com, you'll see the sheep.
That's right. Yeah. Well, Shirley, you tell people about this wonderful trip that you took, do you find that a lot of people haven't heard much about the Lake District? One of the reasons we picked it is we thought it deserved to be known better.
I would agree with you. Yeah. Yes, a lot of people don't.
Well,
but as soon as you mentioned Beatrice Potter and Wordsworth, and we went to their homes.
Oh, how great.
There was nobody there, Pauline.
Oh. Well, when I was there, it was jammed. It was jammed. We couldn't get into, we went to Wordsworth's home. We couldn't get into Beatrice Potter's.
We walked into Beatrice Potter. We walked into Wordsworth. No problem.
Oh, that's great. You don't think your guide might have had an advance reservation?
Probably,
if it was a tour.
Possibly, but there was nobody there.
Oh, well, that's great. Well, thank
you. This is only now, I'm not talking about 20 or 25 years ago.
Sure, this is about a decade ago.
This is about only about 10 years ago,
yeah. Yeah, well, thank you, Shirley. I think you're bringing to the fore what a magical place this is. And UNESCO, as Jason said, the United Nations has named it this year a World Heritage Site, which means that it's a particularly impressive and important to humanity site that we want to protect and shine a spotlight on. So thank you so much for calling, Shirley.
Yes.
So let's get back to the list. And for anybody who wants to see the photos of what we're talking about, wants to read more about it, you can go to frommers.com. That's spelled F-R-O-M-M-E-R-S. You can actually go right to the link if you go to frommers.com/bestplaces2018.
Yes.
So, Jason, what's up next?
Okay, completely different. Now we're thinking warm water, warm sands, palm trees, an island with a beautiful series of craggy mountains in the middle of the wide Indian Ocean. Mm. So it's a place most people haven't been, at least from the United States.
Right.
It's called Mauritius. And Mauritius has such an interesting history because it's about 1,200 miles east of Africa's mainland, but it's also another probably 2,000 miles southwest of India. So all through history, many different cultures, European, African, Indian, Asian, would all mingle together as they traded on, you know, and stopped on this island going from here to there. So Mauritius has a fascinating culture. The food is completely unpredictable because of all these influences, and yet it's tropical. And Mauritius is a beautiful, independent, as of 50 years ago, nation. That's one of the reasons we chose it. It used to be Dutch, it used to be French, it used to be British. 50 years ago, it declared independence, but it retains all of that interesting culture. It's a popular place for some South Africans to go on their vacations because it's sort of the nearest version of the Caribbean for them. Some Europeans will also go, but it's quite a haul for them. But they're working on in Mauritius getting more people to come. They're trying to turn the airport into a major hub for people who are traveling, between India and Asia and Europe. People will stop off and enjoy 4 or 5 days in Mauritius, which I myself have done. You do the kinds of things that you do in like Tahiti. You lay on a beach. You eat a lot. You drink. You hang out at the resort. But Mauritius has the advantage of cities. You can go into the little town and learn about the cultural histories. You can see, for example, they have a stuffed dodo. Remember the dodo bird? Lewis Carroll wrote about I think through the Looking Glass. The dodo did exist. It was an actual bird. It went extinct. And there are pieces of dodos all over the world, but I think in Mauritius it's one of the only complete skeletons, which has now been stuffed and presented. So you can see a dodo. It used to be endemic to Mauritius before the colonists got rid of it, killed it. So that's just one of the most interesting things that you can do there. But, it's a place to relax, you're far away from the world when you're in Mauritius, which I loved. I stopped there when I was going between Johannesburg and Bombay, Mumbai. I stopped off there to break the trip up, and it was a great decision. I had a great time. So I recommend Mauritius, and I think it's just gaining favor among lots of people who need to find some islands that aren't ruined, that still have yet to be discovered by Americans. And Mauritius is a great choice.
Well, we have to take another break. Let me remind everybody, something always happens on this show. It inevitably, everyone calls in the last 15 minutes. If you are taking a vacation over the holidays, if you're looking at spring break, if you want to discuss any of the places we've discussed, or if you want to discuss another place altogether, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. 800-848-9222 is the number. If you're shy, we also take emails. Our email address is fromertravelshow@yahoo.com. I also keep an eye on Twitter. Please follow us there. Our handle is @Fromers, FROMMERS. And as I've been saying, if you want to see this great article/slideshow with beautiful pictures about these destinations, the top places to go in 2018, go to fromers.com/bestplaces2018. We'll be back in a flash.
This is the Fromer Travel Show. Inspiring locations, inspiring ideas for New York. Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
This week's program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment from unexpected problems with Allianz. Visit Allianz travelinsurance.com. Also, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Our number, once again, is 800-848-9222. That's 800-848-9222. That's the number that Doug called. Hey, Doug, welcome to the Fromer Travel Show.
Hey, how are you doing?
Great. What's on your mind?
Hey, my name is Doug Sittel, S-I-T-T-E-L. I shopped a trip to Hawaii and did that very well and economically, but when it comes to overseas travel like Jerusalem or Europe, do you know a good website that I could go to find an overseas travel that is reputable?
Well,
an overseas travel? There's a wide topic there.
Yeah, I'm assuming you're talking about airfares. If you're talking about airfares, a while ago we did a study on fromers.com and found that a site that a lot of people haven't heard of, it's called Momondo, MOMONDO, found the best prices, both internationally and domestically, in something like 8 out of 10 of the cases that we looked at it. Second best was a site called skyscanner.net. So I would look at both of those. A lot of the trick to finding good airfares from here overseas is going in the right season. And right now, the cheapest time to go will be January. After the holidays, travel just bottoms out. People have blown all their cash on gifts, on traveling to see relatives, and it's very, very quiet pretty much everywhere in the world in January. So if you can travel in January, that's a really great way to save money.
Pulling onions into lemonade here.
Yeah.
When people think about booking international travel, how far ahead? I know there's always people looking into when the optimal time to book a ticket to the cheapest price, you know, pops up. What is the best lead time for buying an international ticket?
It really depends on where you're going. There's an organization called the Airline Reporting Corporation that acts as the middleman between the airlines and travel agencies, and they looked at something like 26 million fare transactions, and they found that for domestic flights, 57 days in advance was the sweet spot.
Okay, so that's Europe, what, about 5-6 weeks?
Yeah, going to Europe was 119 days in advance.
8 or 9 weeks, maybe? 10 weeks, yeah.
10 weeks.
Okay.
And I can't remember the other parts of the world. For the Caribbean, actually, it was much shorter. You could book within a month and get very good prices there. So it really depended on the season. We've had an article up on Fromers.com on this. There's also the Airline Reporting Corporation's website. Talking about far-flung places, let's get back to the list. As we've been talking about on this show, on Fromers.com, we have our picks for the best places in the world to go in 2018. And we created this list because when we write the Fromer guidebooks, we use local journalists. So we have hundreds of sources all over the planet. And we ask them, what are going to be really special places next year? And the one that came up a lot was Jordan. Jordan in the Middle East, right next to Israel. Jordan, we are naming as one of the best places to go in 2018, partially because they have opened recently this spectacular 400-mile trail. It's called the Jordan Trail. It's for hikers, and it goes from one end of this small country to another. You see the Dead Sea. You see the Red Sea. You see Petra. And for anybody who's seen Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, you too have
seen Crusade.
Last Crusade?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Remember when they go into the desert and they come to this extraordinary, it's actually the Treasury Building, but this extraordinary building carved into a cliff face.
Yeah, it's where the Holy Grail is kept inside in the movie. Anyway,
in
the real life, there's an empty room.
Oh, really?
They weren't allowed to shoot inside of it. In fact, when there's smoke, it's actually just dust that they puffed out of the door because it's such a precious, historic, ancient artifact that there was no damage allowed.
But that's not the only building that's there,
no,
right, Jason?
There's dozens, maybe hundreds. And you can wander Petra, the city of Petra, for hours. I think I spent 8 hours just wandering around, no one around, going in building after building after building. They're not all as ornate as the Treasury, but many of them are. So imagine, like, you know, it's a whole canyon system, and ancient people carved homes into the canyons and then carved facades of homes on the sides of the rock. And so you keep cool by keep going into all of these old buildings that are carved into – it's fascinating.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's one of the treasures of Jordan and a place that the country is very alert to keeping safe and keeping the tourists coming. It's one of the reasons they built this trail.
Yeah, and so that's one of the things you see on the trail. You also go to Wadi Rum, which is this gorgeous desertscape. In fact, Lawrence of Arabia, the historical figure, not the guy in the movie, well, that's based on his life, he called Wadi Rum vast, echoing, and godlike. And you've seen Wadi Rum, too, in the movies because they actually used it as a stand-in for Mars in the movie The Martian recently.
Oh. It's also the very first picture in our Best Places to Go 2018 feature on Frommers. It's the very first picture you see, and you'll know what she's talking about. You'll say, oh, wow, I thought that was Arizona, but no, it's something even more beautiful.
So if you decide to walk this trail, not only do you see these marvels, but there are companies now that will help you set things up so that you can wander through this country in a way that people have done for thousands of years. And what I mean is you're not staying in hotels, because in many of these places there aren't hotels. Instead, you're going to be staying with Bedouin tribes, and you're going to be staying with in people's homes. It's just an extraordinary experience. You don't have to walk all 400 miles to have this. You can walk just a segment of the trail.
Yeah.
But we think that because of this, Jordan should be on your map for next year.
And Jordan is a country that has been friends with the United States for many years. In fact, the former queen was American.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Queen Noor was married. I forget what his name is. I can't remember her husband's name, but he's no longer king. But her son is. So it's quite an interesting place to go. And there are places in the east of Jordan that are not recommended to visit. But the trail runs on the west of Jordan, which is the tourist zone near Amman and all the major tourist sites.
Right.
So we can safely recommend it as a place to go and experience Jordanian culture, which uniquely they have now opened up to people. They're really eager to see people come to this trail so they can show them what hospitality is like in their country.
Do you think any of our listeners have been to Jordan or Mauritius? Or, well, obviously, I would hope a lot of you have been to New Orleans. But
they may not remember it if they did it right.
Right. If you've been to Jordan, if you've been to Mauritius, if you want to give your feelings about those places, do what the lovely lady who called in about the Lake District did. Call us 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. We also have some interesting news. There's the runways are going to start smelling a little differently soon. Oh, you know what? I'm looking at the clock. We should take
a
break.
Well, that's a great teaser. We're going to tell people, why are the runways going to smell like French fries at your airport? Stay tuned. Come right back to the travel show. We'll tell you.
The most popular destinations for you and your family right here. Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran, The Frommer Travel Show, 77 WABC.
This week's program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment from unexpected problems with Allianz. Visit Allianz travelinsurance.com. And also give us a call. 800-848-9222 is our number. We have Frank on the line. Frank, thank you for taking a break for this beautiful sunny day to call. We appreciate it.
Pauline, how are you today?
Very well. Thank you.
I have a question about Aruba because I unfortunately am losing my eyesight.
Oh,
it's okay. And I know this. I don't know if you said it or someone called in about it. A website where I can pre-print my forms to get in there.
Yeah, you know how there's a debarkation form that you usually print.
You on the plane, exactly.
If you go to the Aruba website, if you go to aruba.com. You can actually download that and do it from the comfort of your home with a magnifying glass if you need to.
Exactly. That's what I want to do.
Yeah. So just go to aruba.com and you'll find the form.
I do appreciate it.
Okay. Have a great day. Thanks for calling. So we have to give the reason why the runways are going to smell like French fries.
I loved it. That was a good teaser. We need to do more teasers on this show. Okay, here's why. It's been building for the last few years. Lufthansa did a little test of this a few years back. It is converting waste oil and vegetables and food scraps into fuel. It's possible, believe it or not, and it's called biofuel. It has carbon emissions are slashed by about half when you use it in jet airplanes. Lufthansa tried this a few years ago. It tested about 1,000 flights with this stuff, and it found that it actually even improved engine performance. Mm. But the problem was it was too expensive. You know, you can't just put coffee rinds in the engine and expect it to run. You have to convert all this stuff at a refinery. and it's expensive. But it's finally gotten to the point where it's inexpensive enough for airlines to consider starting to buy this stuff in bulk, and it's happening. This summer, United Airlines was using biofuel, not very much, but just on a test flight out of Los Angeles. And JetBlue just announced it was going to buy about 330 million gallons of this stuff, but still only about 4% of what it needs in a year. But it keeps going. It keeps rolling along. Geneva Airport in Switzerland is going to use about biofuel for about 1% of what it needs. British Airways has announced a partnership to look into biofuel. Hopefully, it'll start using it in a few years. So it's happening.
So will the runway smell different?
Point. That's it. When you power engines with this stuff, the exhaust smells different. I mean, we know this to be true because if you go to Disneyland, they've been using biofuel on their trains in California for 7 or 8 years, partly because it was less annoying to the neighbors. Because when the soot comes out, it kind of smells like French fries. It smells like cooking oil. It smells like, you know, lunch.
That's so hilarious.
It's not as obnoxious for people who are standing by. I mean, it's still exhaust. Don't get me wrong, but it smells different, but it doesn't perform any worse. It's a kind of an amazing development. We're going to see more of it, and hopefully it'll become cheap, and people will be able to use it around the world from now on. That's an imprint.
Yeah. Well, with that, we have to take another break. Before we do, a shout-out to our sponsor, Allianz Travel Insurance. You know, there's nothing better than traveling to a warm weather destination this time of year. So whether you're headed to a sunny beach or you just want to get away, you want to protect your travel investment with Allianz Travel Insurance. They cover domestic and international trips. They have plans that cover one trip or all of your trips for an entire year. They even offer car rental coverage for just $9 a day, which is much less than the rental car companies charge at the counter. To learn more, visit allianztravelinsurance.com. That's allianztravelinsurance.com.
Get a jump on vacation plans. The Frommer Travel Show. Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran. 77 WABC.
That's right. You're listening to The Frommer Travel Show. I'm Pauline Frommer here with Jason Cochran. We both are authors of The Frommer Guides. Jason's in San Francisco.
Yep.
So we talked about I don't know if it's good news about flying, that it's going to smell like French fries. It's kind of wacky news.
It's not bad news.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the bad news. What are experts saying about airfares?
They're saying they're going to rise soon. And you'd think it'd be because fuel prices are going up. No, it's because the airlines are doing so well, they don't need to discount. Basically, you know, the experts started to come up with this prediction after the recent quarter three earnings reports, in which the airlines, many of them were saying, we're making more money per mile than we made last time. And when that happens, airfares tend to go up a bit because they, you know, again, they don't need to cut prices if things are doing great. So we don't know how much, but expect them to rise a bit. And, you know, airlines are already doing really great, especially on fees. I think $1 billion or something like that.
I mean, an amazing amount. Several billion. Yeah, they're making on fees. Jen, our screener, just told us the name of the prince. We were talking about Jordan earlier. We couldn't remember who Noor married. It's Prince Hamza bin Hussein. So
Hussein.
Any Jordanians out there, that's who we meant when we were talking about this. We also have often talked on this show about a big bugaboo we both have about basic economy fares. I think they're a shell game because on average you save 25% when you book a basic economy fare, but usually you can't check your bag. And how much does it cost to check a bag? $25. So you haven't saved a thing. Recently, my husband had to fly to Utah, and because he used points from his credit card, he only could have a basic economy ticket. So he ended up in the middle seat on that long flight there and back. Other than that, it wasn't so bad, but that's all he could get. Well, another airline is getting on the bandwagon and will now be converting some of its seats to basic economy.
Yeah, we're going to be seeing more and more of this. This one is Sun Country, which is out of Minneapolis, but does fly to the New York region. And we're going to see more of it because it makes an airline look really good when you do an airfare search. you know, they can put a lower price in there. Ooh, that's the cheapest one. I'll take that one. And then you realize later, oh, I have to pay more for the seat. I have to pay more if I want to use the overhead bin. I have to pay more if I want to do luggage. Every little move you make after that point, you have to spend more money on. And as Pauline says, if you added up all the things that you're going to want, you'll have spent more than if you had just gotten the not basic economy fare. But because it makes them look so good on the search engines, they're all doing it. It's sort of a trick.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a shell game. So, Jason, how is San Francisco?
Changing. You know, I don't know how familiar some of the listeners are with San Francisco, but Market Street, especially between Union Square and the Civic Center, has been very dicey. It's been a rough part of town. And in the last 4 or 5 years, it's been coming up very quickly. I'm at a hotel called the Proper Hotel, which is a brand new hotel sort of catering to the new kind of customer for a San Francisco hotel, which are the people who might be doing business at all the tech operations, the websites. Because I went to the roof of this hotel where there's a rooftop bar, again, extremely unusual for San Francisco. Yeah. They're picking up on the New York trend. And if you look around from this rooftop, you see the headquarters for Spotify. You see WeWork. You see Uber. You see Twitter. You see Dolby. Dolby is the only one of the five who isn't a major website that So the tech industry is really changing sort of the rougher spots of San Francisco. And San Francisco has had some very rough spots in the last generation.
Is where you are considered the Tenderloin? Because that can be very rough.
Exactly. I am in the Tenderloin, in a Flatiron building right on Market Street. And you're right. Tenderloin is a place where cab drivers would speed through just a few years ago. And it's starting to change, you know. And there's a Carl's Jr. downstairs from this hotel that's going to be closing and replaced with a Shake Shack. Wow. And if that doesn't sort of epitomize, you know, the shift that's happening, I don't know what is.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. A couple of years back, there was a website that no longer exists, actually, and you may understand why when I tell this story. They tried to give you experiential tours. And so I took a tour of the Tenderloin with a homeless man. And all the money for the tour went to him, so I felt good about that.
Right.
And it was an eye-opening and very puzzling tour. Because in the course of it, I mean, he told me about what that line was. There was a line out of a door, and that was because everybody had gotten their welfare checks, and so they were using it to buy booze at this place at this point. Or this is a free clinic, and you have to get here at this hour, and most people wait 6 hours. And I learned all about the nitty-gritty details of living on the streets, where was safe, where was not. But then he started to talk to me about the fact, he said, that he had been John Gotti's right-hand man and was running for the mob, and he started going into fantasies. And when I was in my 20s, I worked briefly for the Legal Action Center for the Homeless, and I found that a lot of people who are homeless have mental issues. That's
one of
the reasons they're on the streets. So it was like taking a tour from a narrator who you couldn't quite trust. But it was a fascinating and frightening thing. And that's always been what's made me sad about San Francisco.
Yeah. And the gentrification question is, I don't know what is being done for the people who are being forced out, if anything.
Right.
That's the big question. I'm not sure how, if this is a civic thing that's happening, that the city is organizing this change, or if they're simply being squeezed out by tech money. And that's a big riddle that I don't know the answer to, that I'm trying to get to the bottom of while I'm here.
Well, we'll hear more about your trip. You also went outside the city, right, to try and you went to another type of wine country.
I was in
country.
The Santa Cruz Mountains, which is they start about 25 miles south of San Francisco, and they're sort of a minor wine country. There's only about there's less than 10 wineries, but they're all very special in that the grapes are sort of kissed by ocean mist, because you're right close to the Pacific Ocean, in some cases just a few miles. And so all the grapes sort of have a different flavor. I'm not a wine person. I can't describe wine, but all the wine heads among us, we're saying, oh yeah, I taste the minerality or whatever. I don't know. But it's a very distinct place where you go up a mountain through the forest and then emerge in a vineyard that overlooks from 2,000 feet up the entire San Francisco Bay Area. You look down, you see Stanford, you see Cupertino, Palo Alto, you see all of the bay below you, and you're way up in the mountains, in the forested mountains, in the vineyards. It's kind of an interesting, beautiful experience. And on the west side, very quiet, not a lot of tech millionaires. They don't want to cross the mountain range. Hmm. Beautiful stretches of the Pacific Ocean. I ate in a restaurant yesterday that's been open since the 1890s,
wow,
called the Duarte Tavern, which is famous for its artichoke soup, and I must say, deservedly famous. Gorgeous old place. So there's some beautiful spots, just to, you know, very rural, just a few miles out from San Francisco, that has not yet been spoiled by the real estate boom that has ruined so much of the Bay Area.
Yeah, well, and we want to say, apparently, the wine country, much of it is back open for business. You went to a different wine country, but people shouldn't be avoiding Napa. There are parts of Sonoma that are still very badly hurt, but
a lot
seems
of it's fine.
To be okay.
And there's plenty of places that are still open for business. There's a question of what the vintage will taste like after the smoke has come through. That's an open question. But the beauty of the place remains. And in a generation, I mean, a couple of years, that won't be a question anymore.
Absolutely. We have to say goodbye for this week. We thank you so much for traveling with us. Go to fromers.com/bestplaces2018 to see our list. To those who are traveling, a hearty bon voyage.
Bon voyage.
Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flo.
An RV rolls into a campground. Kids in the back eat turkey, jerky, excessive. Dad drives like a boss with 24/7 support from Progressive. Tomorrow it's off to see the world's largest ball of twine. Would have seen it last trip, but Dad missed the sign.
Get 24/7 help when you insure your RV with Progressive. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.